you have in mind. Yeah, that's what you're all about. Good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning and welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. We are covering a lot today. I'm very excited to have my attorney at law, Ron Shalott, with us. Good morning, Ron.
Good morning, Becky. How you doing?
Doing great. We are talking about things that affect property value.
Well, why would they affect property value? Oklahoma is, what, the fifth most affordable state in the country now?
Well, property values still affect. Outside things still affect the value of property, though, right?
Yeah, like people buying them.
Yeah. The availability of a house to buy, right?
Yeah, that's really affected us in just the last couple of years, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. You know, had a broker call me yesterday and said, I want you to take care of my client who wants to buy in the area code of 73142.
Oh, boy.
Between 350 and 500. And I said, well, there are two properties. One I've been in, and it is a moldy mess. And it's not my listing.
Now, when you say 350 and
to 500
a square foot or what?
Yeah, I know, right? No, that's the purchase price that they're looking for. And then the other one went on the market just yesterday, so it won't be available by the time someone gets here. So the availability, now there are homes available in, but that zip code is a pretty rich zip code. The 73142 is up kind of between like 122nd and Memorial, and it's west of, well, I don't know, about MacArthur and goes out to County Line. And there's a lot of upper-end neighborhoods there, but there's not much for sale under 500,000.
Well, didn't that zip code used to be the homes that they built there, considered the big homes at that time?
Yes. Yeah. And not just big in size, but quality.
Well, and bigger than what was being built
right
in other places in the city.
Oh, yeah. Anytime you get to the outskirts, you get bigger and better typically.
And that was the outskirts.
That was the outskirts
at one
time they were built. Yes. 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 So anyway, we're going to be talking about external factors that affect property values.
Right.
How are you going to start us off, Ron?
Well, one of the first things that affect it, other than the condition of the property that you've mentioned, is obviously location, but it's what is on that property in terms of things that affect the title or rights to the property. That is something that when you go by to look at a home, you may not know that there is something that affects the property itself and affects your ownership. And what am I talking about? Homeowners associations, CCRs, covenants and restrictions, things that are on the title, that are on what you can do with your property that do affect the value.
So we can imagine, I did an 8-hour continuing education class this week on property values, how to establish a value of a property. And the whole crux of this class was to compare it against other properties, basically do a comparative market analysis or a CMA. I've written a course on that and was about to turn it in to the Oklahoma Real Estate Commission to get that approved for continuing education. And I thought, I've never in my life seen a class on how to do a CMA. And that is the whole thing about our industry, is you need to know how to determine value.
Well, now when you say CMA, for those of us who are illiterate,
comparative market analysis. What's the value of this property compared to other like properties in the same area? And the example came up of, well, I've got a property that's 2 acres and it's unplatted. Whereas, and I'm listing this, and there's nothing else like it, but right next door to it, adjacent to this property, is a neighborhood of 1-acre properties that are just pretty much like that. So can I use the HOA neighborhood as a comparable property for the one adjacent to it that's not in the HOA?
Well, sometimes it's obvious. You have gated communities. You can tell they've got, some of them used to have a guard at the front of the gate. Most of the time now the gates are automatic. Sometimes they're not even closed.
Right.
But you can see their gated community. You can almost assume that there is some kind of association involved or community association. The same way with condominiums, which we've talked about before, too. I mean, there was about, I think, about 10 or so years ago when we were together that we talked about HOAs, and I was relating to you an older neighborhood in Oklahoma City that I was aware of, which had an HOA. It had a pool. It had a green belt, but the pool had long since gone into disuse, and the green belt was still being mowed. But what are the homeowners then paying for, and how does that affect your value if you still have an HOA that's barely being run, and who runs them? You know, that has a lot to do with it.
Well, and there is a lot to do with HOAs and property value. So how does that affect property value? My theory is that on that particular property, you have to use it because there are no other comparable properties anywhere close to this. It's kind of in an outlying area. However, what will someone pay more for a gated neighborhood with amenities in it and an unplatted property, meaning that there are no restrictions against what you can do on that property? And that property was twice as big in area size as the land itself. So probably that kind of evens out. A lot of people would prefer an unplatted property without restrictions.
Well, there are some people that prefer the HOAs, too. You see it both ways, and I've read comments on articles about that where some people say the HOA is the worst thing in the world. We're talking about HOA. It's Homeowners Association.
Right.
And it is a contract that you have with the others in your development. The developer usually creates a plat, divides up the parcels into lots, and then has a restriction that those who buy the lots must abide by these certain rules. And then they'll often set up a government to where when the developer has sold so many percentage of their lots, then the government, that HOA, Homeowners Association, takes over and governs in accordance with the HOA rules and regulations. And the questions always come up, just like any other government we have, is who controls it, who votes, who elects, who runs it, what are the rules, can those rules be changed?
Can you opt out?
Can you opt out of it? And do you have to pay for it? And there's a difference there when we've talked to before, and we might talk back after the break, that difference between a homeowners association that's mandatory and one that is voluntary, which I tend to call a neighborhood association.
Yeah, and there is a distinction there. Before we go to break, let's talk to
NMLS number
1197740.
Mr. Matt McLean with SWBC Mortgage. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning, Becky. How are you?
Well, I'm doing great. Listen, I've been away for a week. So tell me what I took
well,
a little
you didn't
vacation.
Miss much.
Well, I took a vacation
well,
across
you.
The pond. So
nice.
And saw some of Ireland. But tell me I'm back and working, and I need to know, what are the interest rates? What have they done?
Yeah, so kind of a quiet week in terms of interest rates. Not a lot of movement, but our 30-year rate is mid fives to high fives. And the 15 right around the low fives. So, you know, rates are good
the
compared
15,
to years ago. Maybe not so, but
yeah.
As compared
the
to 1980s, double-digit rates.
As in 15-year loan as opposed to a 30-year loan?
That is correct,
oh, okay.
Yes.
Well, okay, so we're pretty steady. If you want to find Matt McLean or Dean Riddell over at SWBC Mortgage, just go to BeckyIvins.com. Look at Becky's favorites, and they are right there and easy to find. We're going to return with more things that affect your property value other than the property itself right after this break with Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. Uh-huh. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. I am Becky Ivins, broker of Movers Real Estate Company and leader of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team. And we are here with Ron Shalott, who is my personal and corporate attorney. Keeps me out of trouble.
That always sounds so official.
Well, it kind of is official, Ron.
Okay. All right, I get it.
Okay. Yeah, and I will tell you what, it would be a rare thing for me to call you because of trouble I've gotten into, but you need to use your attorney just like your CPA to plan ahead and not get yourself in trouble.
Well, most people call me when there's a problem. I very rarely get a call to say, hey, how's everything going? Everything's going great with me. I'm glad to talk to you for just a second. So it's just the nature of the business.
Right. Well, we are talking today about things that affect property value other than the house itself. In residential property value, there are things that, I mean, if you've got a 2,400 square foot house that is a 3-bed, 2-bath, 2-car, and you have a 2,000 square foot house that's the same, a 3-2-2, well, then there, this difference in the house is just size. And in my experience, extra space without extra features is about 50% of the value, about half price to just extend the size of your house. But if the houses are equal, let's just say we've got a 2,000 square foot house. It's a 3-bed, 2-bath, 2-car ranch style house. If it were located, built the same year, same builder, and located in different areas of the city, how does that affect the value?
Well, it depends upon what the property is close to or far away from. You have some properties that are far away from, say, grocery stores, especially with fresh fruits and vegetable grocery stores. You have properties that are located near an airport or near the flight path of the airport, or are near other busy things.
Like a train track?
Hospital, even. You can have all times of night and day, or near the fire station.
So there are things that affect value of the property. And let's just talk first about location in the city. The thing that affects value most in our city is school districts. I mean, you could have properties across the street from each other, identical houses, and them sell for $10,000 or $20,000 difference in price because one sits in one school district, one sits in a different school district. And I've also found it's not always the quality of the school system, it's the popularity of the school system.
So they're intrinsic things, things that are not very tangible, that can affect the value in terms of the school system. You say, well, this school district is tremendous, but you may be living next to the worst school in that school district. And how would you know? You'd have to check that out and see. And that can change, too. Oklahoma City did that when they reorganized their school district, and now all of a sudden the schools that you were close to, your kid would no longer go to. They would go several miles away because of the reorganization of the school districts.
Right. So, and, you know, we could go do a whole show on schools and the school districts and how that affects property value, but it just needs to be known that the school district the property sits in, the house can sell for more or for less than an identical house in a different school district. So that's kind of a given in our area. But what other things affect it? We mentioned HOAs.
And that is important because the HOAs are prevalent in many of the additions today. Maybe they've been on the title for a long time and people didn't even know about it until they got to the sale, and you have to disclose that now. That's part of the disclosure requirements.
Right. And HOA being homeowners association, and as opposed to a neighborhood association, homeowners association is a mandatory association where you, when you buy the property, you have to pay the dues. You have to abide by the HOA rules. Whereas a neighborhood association is a voluntary association and can include members that are not the property owners, but that are the tenants or residents of the property.
Which is always something you need to be aware of as well. Is this a mandatory association or a voluntary association? Who gets to vote or have a say in it? Is it just property owners? Because some additions are now owned by people or investors that don't live there, that actually rent them out. And then sometimes you don't even know they're rented out. But the people that are residing there may have no say in the property itself. And consequently, you don't know who is going to be the person that you're going to have to deal with. But then, too, you have to look at how is the association formed? Is it something that is voted on annually? Is there an annual meeting? Are there notices given out? How are the notices to be done? And what's been the history of the association? Is it something where the governance, the leadership has been on board for quite some time, or at least some of them have been? Is there anyone on the leadership that has taken over the association, kind of runs it as their own little fiefdom? So those are things you certainly will want to look at and take into account.
Well, and, you know, I hear things like, oh, I don't want to live in that neighborhood because I hear that their neighborhood association is like a Gestapo and they want to make all these rules. Well, if it's a neighborhood association, not a mandatory homeowners association, the residents of that neighborhood don't have to abide by any rules that are voted in because that is a voluntary association and typically used for the betterment of the neighborhood. They'll have picnics and activities and they'll have cleanups of some streets around the neighborhood and stuff, just making it a nicer place to live.
And there the association itself acts in a more friendly manner because you really don't have any way to enforce it. But you want to get people involved and people excited about it and people working together simply for the betterment of the neighborhood and even your property values, but also for your comfort level.
Right. You know, we lived in a neighborhood called Rollingwood near 63rd and Meridian for 21 years. And that neighborhood sold for more than the neighborhood across the street, north of 63rd or east of 63rd or west of the neighborhood. It sold for more money, and it was because it was a friendly place to live and a beautiful place to live because neighbors took pride in their neighborhood itself. But it was the activities of the neighborhood association that I think held up the values of that. And that continues to be a strong neighborhood association.
And that can change over time. And mm-hmm. whereas you used to have the parades and the picnics and all that, but then as people get older, sell out to others, the ones that come in may not keep that kind of tradition up. Yet, too, when looking at especially homeowners associations, you want to look at what are the amenities, if there are any. Are there green belts? Are there things that need to be kept up? And how are they kept up? And are they kept up? Things as well, such as swimming pools. And if so, what is the liability aspect of that in terms of your property, since that's going to be something that you will have a financial stake in if things go awry?
Well, and some neighborhoods are surrounding golf courses. We can talk about that at length, but you need to know who owns the golf course. Because we have had a few neighborhoods, Traditions in Edmond, Coffee Creek in Edmond. Surrey Hills is owned by the golf courses are very often not owned by the neighborhood association.
But if you live next to the golf course, that can be really nice that you have this beautiful view and all golfing out there. But then when that golf ball comes crashing through your back window,
or the golf course decides to sell itself to become more streets in the neighborhood because it's more profitable than keeping up a golf course, is to be able to just, you know, develop more so you no longer back up to a golf course, you may back up to a home half the size of yours, because homes that surround lakes and golf courses tend to be the largest homes in the neighborhood, bigger lots and stuff. But when they develop those golf courses into areas, you need to be aware of who owns a golf course, who owns a lake. There is a lake in Edmond owned by an individual who purchased it for back taxes. And it's right in the middle of a neighborhood. So if this person decides nobody gets to use the lake, then nobody gets to use the lake.
Well, I was in a house years ago, had a homeowners association, has a lake. And the lake, because of rain and drainage into it, actually expanded into another association, another homeowner development across the lake. And so the water was on their property, and that got them what are called riparian rights, or water rights, rights to use the lake without having to pay for it.
There's a lot to know, and we're going to continue our conversation. If you want to give us a call and be a part of our conversation, call us 405-840-1000. We'll be right back after this break with Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Becky Ivins, broker of Movers Real Estate Company, and I am here with attorney Ron Shalott, and we are discussing things that affect property value other than the house itself, okay? And it is... It's time for our word of the day, brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing to do a small repair or to handle your entire insurance claim. Not just the roof. I mean, the gutters, the soffits, the pool furniture. They will take care of the whole thing for you. Call my friend Larry Robbins at 405-728-3700. That's 728-3700. Or as always, you can go to BeckyIvins.com and look on Becky's favorites.
I bet you Robbins Roofing got some calls with all this rain.
Yes. And, you know, he's going to call in. I told him, I said, when we have bad weather, you need to call in and kind of tell us where it is and who got damaged and who didn't. Because a lot of people, like if you went away for the weekend and you come back, you don't know you had a hailstorm.
That is true, but we've also had a lot of rain.
Right.
So if you had some roof issue you didn't know about, you probably know
about it by now.
Or if you just hear this dripping sound in the living room and wonder, what is that coming from?
And usually there's quite a bit of damage by the time it gets its way through the sheetrock.
That's true.
So, but you don't know until it drips through the sheetrock, right?
That's when you find out, or you look up and you go, what is that spot up there? I didn't notice that before.
Yeah. So anyway, Robbins Roofing, 728-3700. Give them a call. Our word of the day today
is statute.
Statute.
Not statue. Not the thing that we've got the icon of you in your business.
Oh, there you go. Yes, a statue. I'm sure.
Not the statue. Don't they have the statue of you in the lobby?
Do you know? Not yet. Not yet.
Still working on that.
Yeah.
Huh?
GoFundMe. Yeah. Statute. What does that mean?
Yeah, you know, we talk about that from time to time with Oklahoma, the Oklahoma statutes, statutes and regulations, things like that. It's a decree or an act made by a sovereign. In other words, whoever has the authority or the ability to dictate rules and regulations. It's just really from Middle English, from Latin, for the word for regulation. So not a big surprise, but it is the decree that's out there. We normally use it for state or federal governments. Sometimes we use it with homeowners association, the statutes of the homeowners association. But if you're talking about a city, you're talking about a smaller area, and that would be normally called an ordinance as opposed to a statute. Theoretically, you could, but usually it's a limited area, limited rights, because cities don't have the right to govern or legislate on everything. There are limitations according to state statutes that tell the cities what they can and can't do, because the cities are created by state statutes.
Are we, when we talk about cities, now, cities have certain ordinances. When people say, well, that's against code, same thing or different?
Well, the code, for example, Oklahoma City, the city ordinances are the enactments that are passed. Then they're put together, compiled into a place that we would call then the code. So your ordinance number 22001, and I'm just making this up, by the way, 22001 might go into the code book at section 10, number 205. That would be the code. So you go to the book itself, the code book, look into the code. But the ordinance itself would be the enactment that is passed at any one particular time.
Like on a state level, we have statutes concerning real estate.
Correct.
And what you can and can't do, basically. And then they become rules and regulations of the Oklahoma Real Estate Commission.
Well, what you have is you have statutes that set up other things. For example, statutes that set up a committee or commission or another aspect, an agency of the government, to make more definite and specific details in accordance with the statute. For example, our title examination statute, our rules are set up by statute, but it's set up so that they can be adopted quickly. They're more definitive, don't have to go through all of the statutory process, although they're authorized by statute to be created. So you do have the rules and regulations, get those details that put things into practice. And sometimes the rules and regulations, if you read them, merely repeat the statute, and you wonder, why did they bother? But other times they give more definition to certain language, certain time periods, or how things are done.
You know, that we have inducement to purchase in Oklahoma that's prohibited. You cannot do anything to induce someone. And the example that's given in the statute, as I understand it, is when W.P. Bill Atkinson in Midwest City, if you buy a lot from him, he gave you a Shetland pony. And it was an inducement to purchase. And then it got interpreted as that realtors can't give away anything. Like, you can't have a drawing for a signed basketball from the Thunder, because that would be an inducement to purchase a property. So the interpretation is different than sometimes the statute is. So anyway, when you talk about CCRs, as in covenant, what is it, conditions, covenants, and restrictions?
Correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That flows with the title of the land, and that can greatly affect the value of a property that sits on that land, right? A house that sits on the land.
Think about what you just said. What is it now? Conditions, covenants, restrictions. Covenant is a contract. It's an agreement. You and I have a contract to do something. You will do this. I will do that. That is a covenant between us. It's a contract. A restriction means I can't, or you can't do something, or we can't do something. Consequently, you do have restrictions on the property as to what you can do. You might have a restriction that says you can't run a business out of it. And that can be very important. And of course, we're ignoring the codes here. The city codes can do the same thing. But in the property itself, it may be important, because that way you don't have all the traffic that's involved with the business, or the number of things that are going on. You might have other kind of restrictions or limitations, animal restrictions, number of people, things of that nature. So you've got the covenants, restrictions, the conditions showing what you have to do with the property, in terms of you can't just paint it hot pink, or sometimes there's even restrictions such as political signage or signage that might incite some type of dissatisfaction or problems among neighbors.
I've noticed that in most HOAs, homeowners associations, that if you actually read those restrictions, many of them are restricted against political signage being posted in your yard or on your building or something. Other things that can be restricted are the type of fencing you can use or whether or not you can fence and obstruct someone else's view. Maybe you and your neighbors back up to a lake. Well, you're restricted against putting up a big board fence, a privacy fence, because you might restrict your neighbor from the view of the lake. So there's many things that are restrictive. Twin Lakes one time, Neighborhood Association had a big deal about basketball goals. You cannot have a basketball goal in your driveway or on your garage. And that neighborhood took a hit on property values because of all the quarreling amongst the members, the homeowners. And so the neighborhood associations can be good. They can be bad. They provide a uniformity of the neighborhood typically.
True. But I was reading, in fact, just today in the newspaper about a situation. Well, it was in the newspapers on the internet, I think. A situation where an HOA was forbidding a person from having a political bumper sticker on their car, which is more like a sign rather than a bumper sticker. But the question was, is that something that the HOA can stop? Or there was one in the news recently which said you can fly the American flag, but if the person was flying the American flag with the blue line for support of police, is that the American flag or is that a political message? So you do get into those kind of issues that sometimes the HOA rules do not specify, and the question is interpretation.
Yeah, there's a lot to it. If you want to give us a call and ask a question, make a comment, do that, 405-840-1000. Mr. Gannon, do we have room to take Ken's? Okay, good morning, Ken.
Good morning, Becky. I just had a quick question regarding codes and ordinances for renovating your home. When deciding whether or not to apply for a permit on that work, would that affect the value of your property?
Well, it can affect the sellability of your property. The value of the property is probably value of your property doesn't mean anything until the time you sell it. Now, that's my view on it. It doesn't matter whether your property goes up or down in value by $100,000 until you sell it.
We've talked about that before, too. You get an appraisal on your property today, but you're not ready to sell it. What good is that appraisal? That's just an estimation of the value if you sold it. So that really doesn't give you a willing buyer, willing seller, how much is it really worth. That's why you'll get appraisals that'll say one thing, but you sell it for more or you can't even sell it for that. And consequently, you're surprised either way. But as to whether the code or ordinance, you would certainly want to check with the governing body, whatever municipality or area you're in, to see, can I do this without getting a permit? You can do a lot of your own work, for example, without a permit, but there are things, if you're hiring somebody outside, you know, electrician, something like that, they would require that you comply with code because they can get into trouble as well. And many times it has to be inspected.
Lots of times plumbing or electrical work or heating and air conditioning work.
Sure. And in plumbing, you think about when you're replacing your water heater, you know, there has to be 18 inches above the ground. And that now, it didn't used to have to be that way, but you might have to pay more for that to satisfy code. But there's a reason for that code. There's a reason for that ordinance. It's a safety device. It was one where the flame of the water heater was low and somebody would have gasoline in a container in their garage. The fumes of the gasoline actually are more potent than the gasoline itself. It would seep out into the garage, start a massive fire, and you have loss and death.
Ken, we've got a lot more to cover on this, but if you want to hang on, we'll be right back after this break with more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. We appreciate you being with us this morning. I'm here with Ron Shalhot, and we are talking about things that affect your property value other than the property itself, things surrounding the property value. It is time for...
Hot, hot, hot.
It's time for our smoking hot deal brought to you by Casa Perico Mexican Grill. Oh my goodness. I'm not in the know of Casa Perico. This is the third week in a row. It is a record. And I want to go today to go to Casa Perico Mexican Grill. You'll notice the on Route 66 in Yukon, there's a new location there that's about to open within about a month. And, 122nd and Penn and 63rd just west of Meridian. So go see my friends over at Casa Perico and have yourself a Diablo shrimp. It's really good. Spicy.
And tell them Becky sent you.
Yeah. They'll be going, we'll put you here in this back corner because you're probably rowdy if you hang out with Becky. And our smoking hot deal, let me tell you, I am unaware of our smoking hot deal. This is the first time I've ever been totally out of touch with my team, almost out of touch. I took care of two things while I was gone.
Well, I think your smoking hot deals have all been selling like hotcakes.
They have.
More like shrimp Diablos.
I know, for sure. But we also, all you have to do to find our smoking hot deals, call our office. We're going to let us put you on a watch list so that you know that it's coming on the market before it goes on the market. Okay. We will keep you informed. So just go to BeckyIvins.com, put yourself a little, you know, search.
Well, this has changed so much. When we first started, you would have like 3-4 properties that are smoking hot deals and come on out and look at them. Now you can't even get three or four because they're gone before you get to them.
They were smoking hot on Friday morning and they sold on Friday afternoon. But I'll tell you, the people that get the best service from us right now are the ones that will call and say, I'm looking for this. And we kind of go over the buying process with them and do a strategy session on exactly how you can get the property you want. And then we do a market analysis and go, okay, well, this should sell for about $325. Do you want to offer $350? I mean, because you're going to pay above what homes have been selling for when the market accelerates like that. So,
but they engage you first as opposed to just looking and saying, oh, there's a for sale sign, let's get a realtor. Instead, it's engage you first, so that way they're in the advance.
Yes, for sure. Okay.
We had the call from Kenna about the flood zone, that he was, now he's in a flood zone.
Well, I mean, but Ken, is Ken still on the line? Okay, good deal. Okay, building codes, I will tell you that you have to put on your disclosure when you do not get a permit for something that needs permitted. Check with your municipality you sit in or check with your county if you don't live in a city, because I think it was Mustang back in the day. You had to get a $10 permit to put in new carpet. Now, hopefully they've taken that off the books. I don't know. I don't know that they enforce it any longer if it's still on the books, but, Del City, you have to get an inspection of the property by the city inspector of Del City before you can sell a property, before you can close on it. The city of Del City comes and does their inspection. It's not for functionality, it's for safety. So you can't count on that as your home inspection. But there are different areas around the state that can affect property value if it's a municipality that's particularly hard to get along with. I really don't know of any that are hard to get along with here. They're pretty, every municipality is just trying to look out for the safety of its residents.
And if you don't like it, then vote.
Vote.
That's what the government, elected government is for, that you vote the people in that then do what you would want them to do. But most of them, like you said, are for safety reasons. Mm-hmm. And when you find out why, like, why do you have your water heater raised above mm-hmm. the ground? I gave you an example. Most people aren't aware of it because they hadn't heard, or the story of what happened was so long ago and you didn't get the information.
So the other thing, okay, someone called asking about a floodplain. Their house, floodplains change.
Well, that was the problem, is it wasn't in a flood zone, I think, before, and now it is.
Well, and that is something that will affect your property value, because flood insurance can be expensive, doesn't always have to be expensive. Kind of depends on where you sit. They redid the flood that was effective either October 1st or November 1st of last year, the flood zones and how FEMA charges for flood insurance. Used to, if you were like in a zone, in a flood zone that was prone to flooding, so long as you were in it, you paid the same price for flood insurance as someone that was in an area that was 10 feet lower and more prone to flooding if it was located. Now it's kind of where that is, where the property is located within that floodplain. So, okay, do we have James on the line? Good morning, James.
Yes. I have a question. I was getting ready. I've been out here on this 5 acres for about 22 years, and right, it's, I don't know, probably 400 or 500 feet behind the house, we have a creek. But the problem is, I have my land goes 100 feet after the creek, and I've been blind for a while. And they have informed me, my people has come over, that the neighbor across the way has built his fence on that 100 feet. Real close to the creek. So I was wondering, how would that affect the price of the land?
Well, if there's a fence that's on your property that you didn't allow, you need to first off establish that it's not on your property, or if it is on your property. If it is on your property and you didn't authorize it, then you need to demand, if you don't want the fence, you need to demand that the person remove the fence or move the fence.
And the thing is okay, after 15 years of maintaining that land without objection from you, they can actually file for rights to the land if they have maintained it and preserved it without your objection, I think.
Well, there has to be a little more than that, because there has to be an agreement that that fence line is the property line, or that you have given that up, you've abandoned it. There are times where you have a fence line and you say, hey, my neighbor, your fence is a little bit over. That's okay. We don't mind.
Well, that sounds like another whole show. We're going to be back next week to talk about, how does murder affect home values? Ron Shalott's going to be my guest next week. So stay tuned, 8 o'clock right here on KTOK.